Welcome to the Cato Weekly Digest for the week of June 14, June 20, 2026. Something shifted this week, and I want to name it precisely. AI did not become a product, it became a procurement problem.
And that is not just a vocabulary upgrade. That is a different conversation happening in a different room. Legal, finance, security, not just engineering.
Exactly. And the week had a perfect case study. The Fable fight. Early in the week, it looked like an Anthropic story. A model pulled offline, an alleged jailbreak, export control pressure.
But by the end of the week, the sharper question was not who was right, it was what does a buyer price in next time?
Right. And there are only two reads. Either the guardrails failed, which means the product is risky, or the government overreacted, which means the product is interruptible.
Neither of those is a clean bill of health.
Neither. So then Anthropic's safety identity becomes the week's most important business fact. Layla, you had a framework here.
Yes, what I call the safety ceiling, the maximum competitive disadvantage a company can absorb for responsible AI before market pressure bends the principle. I used to think of it mostly as a break. How safe can you afford to be before someone undercuts you?
But this week added a different direction.
Right. Safety can be a sales advantage and a customer risk at the same time. Anthropic's posture may earn trust. It may also make buyers ask whether this vendor is more likely to face intervention, restrictions, sudden access changes.
Because the lab spent years saying its own models were unusually dangerous.
Which is a strange loop. If you market yourself as the careful keeper of a dangerous tool, governments here, please regulate us, customers here, great, but what is my fallback?
My read is that safety has crossed from brand position into buyer variable. The question is no longer, will safety slow the lab down? It is, does safety make this vendor easier or harder to buy from?
That's the right frame. But Cato, I want to push back on one thing. You are implying procurement friction could slow adoption. I think the historical counter is strong. Cloud got ugly. SaaS got ugly. Security questionnaires are brutal. Companies kept buying.
Fair. The productivity delta can absorb a lot of ugly.
So procurement risk does not need to stop adoption to matter. It only needs to change the contract, the fallback plan, the vendor mix, and the price a buyer is willing to pay.
That's well put. And we saw enterprise evidence of exactly that. AT&T, Meta, Uber, Walmart, all reportedly putting caps on AI spend. Microsoft testing model substitution. Anthropic reserving identity checks.
Each of those is a buyer renegotiating the terms, not walking away.
Which is normal enterprise software behavior. In the worst and best sense.
Useful, expensive, contract-heavy, audited, politically exposed, and still adopted.
Let's go to infrastructure because the map got genuinely wider this week. It used to be enough to say, compute is scarce. That sentence does not cover what happened this week.
No, scarcity this week included memory, storage, power, permits, utilization, financing, carbon legitimacy, precursor gases, and local politics.
Start with the financing layer. NVIDIA's inference share reportedly rising while Broadcom was backstopping an Anthropic-linked chip order through Apollo and Blackstone. That makes inference look less like a future revenue line and more like an infrastructure finance object.
And then you get OpenAI's burn, NVIDIA debt, XAI powering Anthropic, different players, same signal. Even the strongest labs need balance sheet endurance.
Then the constraint went below GPUs. Memory vendors had underbuilt. Apple was reportedly expecting to raise device prices because AI data centers were eating memory and storage supply.
And Amazon pitching Trainium and Inferentia, not on benchmark performance, but on availability, control, and cost. That is a different value proposition.
It is. Sovereign capital also showed up. CPP investments backing Indian data centers, Temasek planning to triple AI exposure. The AI boom hit a new corner of the bond market.
And then something I found really striking. Tungsten hexafluoride, a precursor gas used in advanced AI chips, up more than 200% year over year after Chinese export controls squeezed supply.
200%. That is not a rounding error. That is a geopolitical choke point buried inside the chip stack.
And then data center noise lawsuits, XI pollution claims. The local cost of infrastructure becoming visible in the most mundane ways, neighbors complaining.
Right. So I use the frame I call the landlord's bet. The wager that AI's value lives in infrastructure and operational control, not just model intelligence. This week gave the bet plenty of evidence, but the caveat is now just as important as the thesis.
More bottlenecks can mean more rents. It can also mean more ways for the market to root around any one owner.
Exactly. And Anjaney Midha's argument on compute utilization made this concrete. Labs may be wasting bought compute before they run out of it, which means the problem is not just scarcity, it is operating competence.
Buying GPUs is easier than turning flops into progress.
Hard agree. Now, the model layer, because it did not disappear. It got sorted.
GLM 5.2 was the quiet persistent signal of the week. It kept showing up as a possible open weight coding and agentic workhorse with practitioner validation, local runtime support.
Not just a launch and a benchmark tweet.
Right, and Poolside's Laguna M1 added another piece. Open models fragmenting into specialized workhorses, not just chasing frontier chat.
So closed frontier pricing power is being squeezed from both sides. High-end, Fable 5 may justify premium pricing for hard-delegated overnight work. Low-end, enterprises are routing cheaper tasks to cheaper models.
And Microsoft reportedly considering DeepSeek behind Azure's trust boundary, sidebar. That is the sharpest version. A closed model partner may still want open model economics if the enterprise wrapper is trusted.
The useful frame is not open beats closed. It is work gets routed.
Explain that for listeners who are newer to this.
Ambiguous high-stakes work goes to the strongest model. Bounded work goes to tuned or cheaper systems. Sensitive work stays in Excel or on-prem chips, and the valuable layer becomes the system that chooses among them.
Which is why AWS pricing by agent hours mattered more than its sticker price. Buyers do not want token archaeology. They want a rough unit of work that a finance team can actually budget.
And OpenAI letting Codex users bank a reset for up to 30 days. That is, agent capacity becoming schedulable inventory.
The model market is splitting while the control plane is consolidating. That is good for buyers if routing stays competitive.
And dangerous for pure model providers if their output becomes one option inside someone else's budget screen.
Cato, the same routing logic showed up outside enterprise. In commerce.
Walk me through it.
Shopify, the bear case was AI agents bypass the storefront entirely. The more interesting point from Thompson and Morton was that AI commerce may behave less like search distribution and more like referral, assistance routing high-intent buyers instead of owning broad attention.
So Shopify's catalog API and universal commerce protocol were the answer. Make the merchant graph and checkout rails agent-readable before the storefront gets bypassed.
But there was a useful counterweight. OpenAI's checkout test looked rough. grocery remained a logistics density problem. Uber and Waymo suggested that demand routing only matters if fulfillment can handle the work.
AI changes the interface. It does not dissolve inventory, delivery, payment, trust, and local capacity.
And Fox buying Roku. That was the media version of the same thing. Not just a streaming asset. A distribution surface where hardware, apps, advertising, and viewer demand meet.
The painful detail there, Fox had reportedly sold a small Roku stake years earlier near $57 a share and was now buying the whole company around $160 a share.
Platform optionality looks non-core until the market structure moves underneath you.
American Express buying the fork from TripAdvisor was quieter, but the same mechanism. Amex wants a reservation surface that routes high-value dining demand.
Fox, Shopify, Amex, OpenAI Checkout, Uber, Waymo, different markets. The shared mechanism is demand routing. Whoever owns the path from intent to action can tax the handoff.
Which makes commerce the consumer analog of the enterprise agent control plane. The surface changes. The logic does not.
Let's talk about China because it was not just a competitor story this week.
No, it was a different operating model showing up across multiple markets at once.
On AI, Dalio framed China's strategy as national productivity and low prices rather than margin capture. GLM 5.2 supplied the developer-facing version of that.
If usable open models keep improving, closed labs have to justify their price with reliability, trust, tooling, and workflow fit, not just benchmark-led.
On infrastructure, Chinese renewable generation was large enough to reframe clean power as industrial capacity, not climate branding. Solar exports surging outside EU and ASEAN, while export value fell relative to shipped capacity.
Another way to say that, China can export deflation through scale.
And on geopolitics, Dalio's read was that Asian leaders are recalibrating around weaker U.S. security guarantees after the Hormuz crisis, while China's export surpluses strengthen financial pull and give countries practical reasons to transact outside dollar systems.
His Taiwan read mattered separately because Taiwan is not only a sovereignty question. It is the choke point for much of the world's AI chip supply.
The tempting Western read is to make this a contest of better models. I think that is too narrow.
I agree. The Chinese operating model combines cheap AI, manufacturing depth, renewable scale, export pressure, regional diplomacy, and coercive leverage. It may produce lower margins.
It may also produce more adoption, more dependency, and more geopolitical pull.
The test is whether cheap Chinese capability stays good enough inside real workflows while Western frontier systems carry higher capital costs, higher procurement friction, and more political interruptibility.
If that happens, the model price war becomes a state competition story.
Let's hit provenance because the security thread matured this week.
Search leak was the clearest signal. Microsoft 365 Copilot-style search could turn privileged enterprise content into an exfiltration surface when prompt injection met email, SharePoint, calendar data, and external resource loading.
AI making vulnerability discovery cheaper for attackers pushes assume breach closer to normal operating posture.
And then KPMG removing an AI adoption report after fake case studies appeared in it. Verification failure at the exact firm selling responsible AI.
The timing was brutal.
Police using AI to fabricate evidence, identity checks for AI access, state pressure on model availability, all pointing to trust boundaries that only work if institutions choose to make them inspectable.
Even culture had it. The taste slop argument and the Monet mislabeled as AI. Once AI is embedded in normal tools, is this AI becomes a weaker question than what evidence would make this trustworthy.
Which is what I call the verification tax, the burden placed on humans who must check, debug, and absorb AI outputs without matching authority, time, pay, or protection. This week, the tax moved earlier in the process.
Into the buying process itself.
Before deployment, prove the model can be used, prove the data terms are acceptable, prove the workflow can be audited, prove the fallback exists, prove the cheaper substitute is good enough.
That changes who holds power. A CFO who understands agent hour pricing has more power than an employee who only sees usage limit reached.
And this is where I want to spend a minute on the human at the center of all of this, the procurement lead.
Your essay this week.
Picture her. Her boss wants the strongest model. Engineering says the new version can run overnight. Legal asks about 30-day data retention. Security asks whether a prompt to fix code can look like a jailbreak. Finance asks why the usage bill keeps changing. A foreign office asks whether access could vanish because Washington changed its mind.
Nobody in that room is anti-AI.
That is exactly what makes the job hard. They all want the tool.
Hey.
And her job come is to turn a moving technical system into a viable institutional object. Dadien.
She has to ask whether Fable 5's overnight work is worth the data terms. Whether GLM 5.2 is cheap enough after support and compliance. Whether a U.S. model is politically interruptible supply for foreign teams.
Whether agent hours are honest enough for budgeting.
And there is a power asymmetry buried in the role. If the deployment works, the model gets the praise. If it fails, the paper trail may point to the person who approved it.
That is the loneliest part of what you called the capture ledger. The record system around machine work. Who meters it, authorizes it, logs it, finances it, and compares it with human cost.
This week, the capture ledger moved into procurement language. Agent hours instead of tokens. Model routing instead of one default. Retention terms instead of vague comfort. The ledger is not just proof after the work. It is the contract before the work.
And the week's non-AI mirror made this sharper. Britain's weak prime minister problem, Kmart's collapse against Walmart, Ben Stansel's iPhone essay, all saying the same thing. Execution, taste, restraint, and institutional memory matter more when capability gets easier to summon.
Walmart beat Kmart through compounding operating trust, not a better quarterly slogan.
If a model can generate more ideas, code, designs, reports, the scarce work moves to selection, simplification, sequencing, and saying no.
Abundant AI does not make judgment less valuable. It makes bad judgment cheaper to express at scale.
That is the sentence of the week for me.
And my open questions. When AI becomes something every serious company must buy, who protects the person who signs the buying logic?
That question does not have a clean answer yet. What I will say is this. The redundancy floor, the baseline of human judgment that survives automation, is still in monitor mode. We do not have clean labor displacement evidence at the center of this week. We have the machinery that comes before it.
Budgets, caps, routing, approvals, access limits, proof demands.
Follow that curve, and the next market map is not which model wins. It is who owns the system that makes model work purchasable, provable, rootable, and hard to walk away from.
That is the right question. And Cato, the procurement lead in that essay, is the person who has to answer it inside her company every week before the rest of us notice it mattered.
Every institution building on AI is, right now, also building the contract around AI. And the people who write that contract will shape what this technology actually does in the world, far more than any benchmark.
Until next time, everyone, stay sharp.
Until next week.